Transformers. We talked about this as our introductory stuff that we're all probably familiar with, the toys, the Transformers in the movies, these vehicles that change into these super machines that do all kinds of amazing things and so forth. But when we talk about transforming and Transformers, that's not the kind of Transformers we're talking about here. We're talking about butterfly transformation. Remember me telling you that? This is a process that takes place where change begins to take place, and it moves along in that process of going from where you are to where God wants you to be. Now, one of the things that I mentioned about the Transformers, that is the movie, the toys, and so forth, that one of the things that they do, they can transform into this super machine, but then they can change back again into the common vehicle. Well, when we're talking about transformation here, we're not talking about transforming back to what we were. Okay? That's going in the wrong direction. This is that process of transformation that moves forward and changes us from where we are to where God wants us to be. And it is not going back to where we were. Okay? So, it's all about us being transformed into the image of Christ. All right? Now, the questions that we're really discussing in this study have to do with, well, what is that transformation process, first of all? Okay? Secondly, how does it work? And then the third question that we're looking at is, what does that look like? In a very practical way, what does transformation really look like in our lives? And especially, we're looking at various areas like our marriages and our families, family relationships. We're talking about relationships with neighbors and friends and with maybe work relationships, bosses and employees. All the different relationships that we have in our lives that we interact with other people, what does transformation really look like in those relationships? Of going from wherever I am to where God wants me to be. So that's what we're really trying to focus on in this series of lessons. And the other one is, how does that affect the church? What does a transforming church look like? And that's the lesson we're going to talk about next week, okay? When we talk about transformation, what does that look like when it comes to the church itself, okay? So, transformers. That's what all of us need to be. Those who are willing and able to be transformed into the image of Christ. Today we're going to talk about family matters, okay? What does transformation look like in the family? You see, God has a plan for families. All right? And so, what we're going to be looking at this morning is, what does a transformed family, or a transforming family, that ongoing process, what does that really look like? All right? So, we're going to try to address that this morning. First of all, we talk about the marriage relationship. It looks like one man and one woman. Contrary to what we're hearing today and the woke folks that are out there, marriage has always been, as far as God is concerned, between one man and one woman. Okay? All right. We go to some of the texts that Holloway read for us this morning. We go actually a little bit before that in Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God decided that He was going to create us, that is, man, in His very image. Okay? And then he goes on to say, so God created man in His own image. All right? So that's how we were created, in the very image of Almighty God. He says, in the image of God He created him. And then look at this. Male and female, He created them. Okay? So how many choices do we actually have? There's only two. Okay? It's either male or female. All right?
Amen.
Now, we continue reading on. It says, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So God had finished His creation, and His masterpiece was us. Okay? Male and female. So this stuff that we're hearing today about gender identity, let's get a couple of things straight here, okay? First of all, we have a lot of what's referred to as woke people out there that are teaching a whole lot of garbage, all right, about gender identity. Okay? It really kind of baffles me, to be honest, that somebody can't figure out whether they're male or female. All right? I've said this before. All you got to do is look down. Okay? It's real, real simple. I don't mean to be crude or anything, but it's that simple, okay? It's either male or it is female. All right? There are no other alternatives, but yet the world wants us to think there are.
Yeah.
This is nothing but perversion of God's truth, is what it is. And we need to be able, we need to be bold enough to stand up and say that. When people are telling us this other garbage, we need to be bold enough to stand up and say, no, no, I'm sorry, but that is not the truth. You say, God's Word is truth. And all this other stuff is nothing but garbage that people have come up with because they don't want to accept God's truth. All right? When it comes to this gender identity stuff, the question is, why is there any confusion whatsoever? I'll tell you why there's confusion. It's because we have people that are trying to indoctrinate our children. That's what it's really all about. Okay? Trying to indoctrinate them into thinking that, you know, there's all these other alternatives and so forth, and you have a difference between what your sex at birth is and what your identity is. No, that's perversion. It is indoctrination, and it is wrong, plain and simple. And we cannot and should not, must not in any way whatsoever accept it. In fact, what we need to be doing is everything we can to stop it. Okay? And there's a warning that the Bible gives us, especially, all right, when it comes to the children and what is being done, those folks that are doing this kind of indoctrination stuff, they need to heed this warning. Whoever causes one, just one, of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come. You see, those who are putting our children at risk of turning away from God because of these policies that are being taught, they need to heed this warning because they're in danger of causing those children to sin against God by teaching them these wrong things. And we need to do everything we can to stand up to it and to speak out and to say no. And to support especially our parents who've got children in school that are having to deal with this kind of stuff. See? Now, we go back to our text, and there's one thing that is really interesting about the creation story. Okay? There's only one thing that God looked at in all of His creation and said that it is not good. Okay? Everything else, God looked at and said it was good. It was very good. Except this one thing, and that one thing is for the man to be alone. God looked at that and He recognized and He acknowledged that is not a good thing. It was not how God intended for it to be. God does not design and intend for man to be alone. He says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay? And out of the ground the Lord caused the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Did you realize that Adam is the reason that we call horses horses and elephants elephants and cows cows and ducks ducks? Yeah, Adam is the one who gave them their names. You say? And so all the animals coming by Adam, and he gives them a name. But it says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, let me cause you to think about something a moment, okay? Understand that this process that Adam went through of naming all of these animals, it certainly was not for God's benefit. It's not like God didn't know, what are we going to call these things? Okay? That was not the point. That was not the purpose of God doing this. It was for Adam's benefit. All right? First of all, that Adam would see that of all of the things that God had created up to that point, there was nothing that would be a suitable helpmeet for him. Adam needed to understand that. Okay? And so then, once he understood that, then God created that suitable helpmeet for him. Okay? The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and the Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So what God did was he first of all made sure that Adam understood and knew that there was nothing in all creation thus far that would be a suitable helpmeet for him. Okay? And the second part of that is that he made a very special helpmeet, created specifically as a helpmeet. And hopefully that would cause the man to understand how special she really is. You see? And thus would then love and respect her the way that he needs to. Okay? So that was the purpose that God did what he did in that way. All right? And then verses 24 and 25. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." God brought them together. He created what we refer to as the institution of marriage. One man, one woman, together as one flesh. Okay? That's how God designed and intended for it to be. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, men have corrupted that whole concept. But this is God's original design for marriage. All right? Jesus was asked on one occasion the question of divorce. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And notice that Jesus, in answering that question, where does he go? He goes all the way back to where we just were in creation in answering the question. Look at what he says. "Haven't you read that where? At the beginning." Which beginning? Well, there's only one beginning, right? Okay. "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female."
That's right.
"And said," does this sound familiar? "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." So not only did God bring a man and a woman together as husband and wife, but his intention was that that relationship would be a one-flesh forever relationship. okay, until one or the other dies. Okay? One flesh for life. That's God's design and intention for the marriage relationship. Okay? Now, let's take a look at, okay, we go from there. We see, this is how God designed and intended the marriage relationship to come about. Well, what about the husband and wife themselves? What is God's intention in terms of how we are to be living in relationship with one another as husbands and wives? Okay? In other words, what does a transforming husband look like? Guys, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about it in those terms? What am I supposed to look like as a husband who is being transformed into the image of Christ? And so here's, you know, what do we look like? How about a wife? What does a transforming wife look like? Okay? I don't know if you realize or not, if you can tell, but these are pictures of Cindy and I when we were younger. Okay? In our prime and, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And of course, here we are now. Well, it's not what we look like on the outside. Okay? What do we look like on the inside? What does our relationship look like? That's what we need to be thinking about. All right? So, what does a transforming husband look like? What does a transforming wife look like? We go to Ephesians chapter 5, where, as we've talked about many times before, we typically refer to this text and look at it when it talks about the way husbands and wives are supposed to be, and that's how we're going to look at it this morning, but keep in mind that Paul is using the marriage relationship primarily to describe the relationship between Christ and His church. And he says, they should look the same. Okay? For he says to wives, wives, submit to your husbands, okay, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, okay? And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church submits to Christ, so let the wives be submissive, I'm having trouble seeing that. Be to their own husbands in everything. Okay? Now, this is a really, really unpopular text in our world today. Okay? The whole idea of wives being subjective to their husbands is just, for most people, that's archaic. It's every bad thought and word you can come up with. Okay? And a good deal of the women in this world absolutely refuse to be submissive to their husband. I've had women tell me, there is no way I'm going to be submissive to any man. Okay, well, the problem with that is, that's what God wants from us to be. Okay? And again, notice here, it's not just about the wives and the husbands, it's about the church, who is the bride of Christ, and Christ Himself. So it is recognizing, first and foremost, what God designed, how He wants the marriage relationship to function. Okay? So the first question here is, wives, that's what a transforming wife should look like. How does that reflect in your life as a wife, those of you who are married? Okay? Well, how about the husbands? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Okay? That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So the question then becomes, husbands, how are you transforming as a husband? What do you look like when held up before these words? Okay? He goes on to say, so then men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. Okay? Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. So again, this is the picture that God has given us of what He wants a husband and wife relationship to look like as it's functioning in the marriage relationship. Okay? So here's another way to look at that. When we're talking about transformation, we look at the marriage, what's referred to as a marriage triangle. And you see you've got a husband on one corner, a wife on the other. And the idea behind this is that as each one, the husband and wife, move closer to God, in other words, the transformation is taking place, that we're allowing God to transform us, to make us look more like the husband and the wife that He wants us to, guess what happens? We get closer to one another as husband and wife. You see? So, how does this work in a really practical way? I'm going to give you one example. Okay? Use myself. You know, I have been a marriage and family therapist for 30-some years. Okay? So, some people might think that, you know, I know everything there is to know about how to make a marriage work, and I have a perfect marriage, right? Well, if you want to know the truth about it, just ask Cindy. All right? So a couple of weeks ago, I sat down with Cindy one day and I asked for her forgiveness because of the way that I have been toward her in aspects of our relationship, that I had come to the point where I realized this is not what God wants me to be doing. You see? Now, that was hard for me to do. But I realized that it was necessary because if I really want God to transform me, and by the way, that's a prayer that I pray every day with her as part of our prayer, that at the end of our prayer, I ask God to help me to be the kind of husband that He wants me to be to her. You see? And so what I'm saying is that in our lives, in our relationship, and it doesn't matter how many years you've been married, it doesn't matter how much you know about marriage, okay? There is still room for transformation. That's my point. You see? And so we always need to be looking and to see, as I was saying before, that we hold ourselves up to God's Word and to see, how am I doing? You see? How am I doing? And I see things that aren't the way they need to be. Those are the things I need to work at changing in my life. And in this case, as a husband. And our wives need to do the same thing. Because that's how we allow God to transform us from where we are to where He wants us to be as husbands and wives. Okay? What about parents and children? That other family relationship that is there. What does a transforming child look like? Okay? And what does a transforming parent look like? Now, you know, right off the bat, there may be some of you are saying, well, but that doesn't apply to me because, you know, I don't have any kids. Okay? Well, do you still have parents? Doesn't matter, again, how old you are. You see? And are you still parents? You see? Doesn't matter how old your kids are. You see, I tell people all the time, I never really knew how to be a parent until I was one. Okay? And then when I became a grandparent, guess what? I had to start learning how to be transformed all over again. Because I didn't know how to be a grandparent until I became one. And I didn't know how to be a father-in-law until I became one. And all of those transitions in life. So again, it doesn't matter how old your children are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old your parents are. See? We need to be looking at it in terms of, how does God want me to respond and to relate to either my parents, if they're still alive, and or to my children? Again, no matter how old we are. All right? So, one of the difficulties in raising children, as probably most of you know, because those of you who are already older, you've been there, you've done that. So you know how difficult the time of adolescence really is. How do you raise adolescents, okay? And I had a colleague of mine who had a success formula for raising adolescents, all right? Surviving the adolescent years of your children. That's what he referred to it as, okay? He said, when your child turns 13 years old, okay? Amy, you need to listen to this, all right? So when your child turns 13 years old, you get one of those old whiskey barrels, okay? And he said you put them in the whiskey barrel, and you feed them through the hole, all right? And then he says when they turn 18, he said plug the hole, all right? That's how you survive the adolescent years of your kids. All right. Now, yeah, it's all fun, though, really to illustrate how difficult those years can be. All right. Of course, understand we're not advocating putting any kids in a barrel or anything like that. It's just a funny story. But really, it does illustrate sometimes how difficult parenting can be. Not just for the parents, but for the kids themselves. But it comes back to the same thing. It's all about the relationships that God has brought us to. So we go to Ephesians chapter 6. What does God tell us about those relationships? He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live as long on the earth. So you know, the idea here is that children are responsible to their parents to obey them, to do what they tell them to do, and they are to live with them in such a way that brings honor to their parents. Now, I want to suggest to you, as a marriage and family therapist, that one of the real problems that we have in our society and our culture and our world today is that we have parents that are not expecting this of their children. So therefore, we have children who have no respect for their parents because none is expected of them. In fact, in a lot of homes, it's the children who are running the home instead of the parents. Mm-hmm. And that's not how God intended for it to be. You see? It's the children who are to be responsible to the parents. And the parents to be responsible for raising their children in that way. That's what he says next. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You see, there's a responsibility that God is placing on the parents to raise their children in the right ways, and first and foremost, to raise their children to know the Lord. You see? But again, part of the problem is we've got kids that are being raised by kids today. And we have parents who want to be more, they want to be friends with their kids instead of parents to their kids. And that's not what he's saying here. Your children, I promise you, do not need any more friends. What they need, our children need their parents to teach them and to raise them. That's how God designed and intended for that relationship to be. Okay? So we need to be looking at those relationships that we have in our lives. Again, you know, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Look at those relationships that you have in your life. And maybe they're not your children. Maybe they're close friends of yours. You have likely, everybody here has relationships with children somewhere in your life. Okay? And God has told us this is how we need to be building those relationships. And this is how we need to be transforming as children. We look at our the way that we are as children and go, hey, you know, I need to make some changes here because I'm not doing the things that I need to be doing as as a child to my parents. And again, doesn't matter how old you are. If you're being disrespectful to your parents and you're an adult, is that any more pleasing to God than if you were doing it as a young child? The answer to that is simply no. You see? And what about as far as parents? How are we transforming? Are we allowing God to transform us to be the kind of parent that God wants us to be? And again, doesn't matter how old your children are. There's always more to learn, you see, in terms of those relationships so that we can do it better and more the way that God wants us to be doing it. All right? So, we're talking about transformation. We're talking about being transformed by Jesus from wherever we are at this point in our life to where He wants us to be. And one of the things I remind you that I told you last week is this transformation is a process and it will go on for the rest of our lives. That transformation process will never be finished in you. Okay? It'll never be finished in any of us. It's something that will go on for the rest of our lives. We need to always be looking at how does God want to transform me in my life? And in this particular case this morning, talking about in our families. Okay? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And it's an opportunity for anyone to come and express any desire for prayers on your behalf or someone else's, any need that you have that we can address and try to take care of for anyone who is not yet a Christian to give their life to Christ. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, that opportunity is available to you. If you have a need or a prayer request that you'd like us to address, you can text either me or Wesley. Our numbers will be on the song sheets at the bottom while we're singing this song. And if there's anyone out there who's not yet a Christian and you desire to become one, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you and let us know. Contact us and we will, as soon as is possible with you, arrange for you to be baptized into Christ. That's what this part is really all about. The opportunity is available to anyone